On to Davi Ritnow, economist at the Efficient Group. And Davi, just as the world is getting over its insane addiction for electric vehicles, and we're beginning to see cracks appear in the global electric vehicle market, where secondhand car sales are falling off a cliff because new car prices are coming down sharply thanks to lots of supply coming out of China, South Africa says, you know what we need to do? We need to start an electric vehicle industry in South Africa. Have we left this one too late, do you think?
Yeah, I think we are a little bit late. I think we should have started with this long time ago. South Africa has got a certain, we've got a well-established local motor car manufacturing industry, and it made sense, it would have made sense to start with this long, long time ago. And unfortunately, as you've said, is that many of the other manufacturers are already very, very well-established, and especially the Chinese are coming very, very aggressively into the market. So it's not going to be easy for South Africa to start competing internationally as well.
Because we've got a vibrant vehicle market, and it's East London, and it's Gqeberha, and it is Rosslyn and Pretoria, big motor manufacturers heavily incentivized to produce traditional internal combustion engine vehicles here. Big incentives being offered by government, and it should actually take off quite nicely, assuming we don't get any nasty political shocks in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, the incentives are very, very strong. And of course, we, the normal consumers, are paying very, very dearly for motor cars because of those incentives. Because basically, we are subsidizing the motor car industry in South Africa. So you're absolutely right. Those are really significant incentives that they will be getting. And I assume that the motor car industry will get a similar kind of incentives. Basically, what it means is that you pay a huge amount of import duty if you want to import a car, but if you export the car, then you get most of that money back. So that's the incentive. And in the process, the local motor car prices are quite high. But yes, the incentives are certainly there. Unfortunately for us in South Africa, I'm not so sure that we have necessarily all the technical know-how. I'm not so sure all the foreigners are going to run to South Africa to invest in South Africa not only because South Africa is far away, but perhaps even for political reasons as well. And the fact that you're going to be a little bit late in entering the market. So there are significant obstacles for South Africa to really, really make, I think, we'll be able to compete internationally. But yes, the incentives, without a doubt, the financial incentives are there. In fact, the Minister of Finance announced in the budget that he will allow 150% on capital deduction. So I mean, that is huge. And a part of that are the normal running incentives for motor car manufacturing as well, like I've said, and I think it will be pretty much the same for electric vehicles as well.
It's important here too, because again, the moment you say anything negative about government industrial programs and electric vehicles and low carbon emissions in the future, people get very agitated, Davi. There is a very strong sense, however. I mean, the CEO of Hertz has lost his job because he went huge into electric vehicles, and Hertz has written down the value of 80% of its stock. It's sold off most of its electric vehicles because they're expensive to repair. They're expensive to replace the batteries, and demand for them, frankly, isn't nearly as good as was expected to be when the now former CEO of Hertz started making these massive multi-billion-dollar investments. These transitions often happen very, very quickly and very excitedly with lots of noise and froth, and then reality sets in, and then there's almost like a pullback before you get to a more normalized growth path, isn't there?
Yeah, and in the case of South Africa, I think South Africa is a huge place. I don't think electric vehicles are going to take off soon. Me personally, I did buy an electric vehicle for my car, but I think in our personal case, we've got a lot of surplus electricity because of the solar panels that we've put on our roofs. So I think it can work in certain instances, but my wife uses the car only to go and pick up the kids and drive the kids around, so she never goes further than, say, 20, 30 kilometers or 40 kilometers a day. But if you really want to replace a normal internal combustion engine in places in big countries, like, for example, you need an additional infrastructure in the form of electricity or charging stations all over the place. I can't use my wife's motor car to go to Cape Town from Pretoria, as an example. It's simply not going to work because the infrastructure is not there. So I think in the case of South Africa, it's going to take a long time.
Yeah. Not yet. I mean, we've spoken to people who've got plans to put solar panels in place and to create charging stations, and it's all terribly ambitious and exciting. But yes, these things unfortunately manifest more slowly than we anticipate they will. But at the same time, if we don't set big, ambitious goals, Davi, one of the things that South Africa has become very bad at is becoming ambitious. We've become quite unambitious in recent years. We've got far too much PTSD from the Zuma years. We need a bit of confidence somehow. And you know, this is, again, perhaps an element of confidence that Ibrahim Patel is finally introducing into the manufacturing sector.
Yeah, confidence is perhaps the biggest single obstacle if you look at the South African economy, because I just had a look at some confidence indices today, and the confidence in South Africa is very low. I think that is the first thing that we need to fix. But quite ironically, we want to manufacture electric cars in South Africa, but we do not have electricity, or certainly not enough electricity. And until we fix those sort of things and fix the railroads and the harbors and so on, those are the kind of things that we really need to fix before we can get any industry going in the country.
But you talk to the CEO of Ford, for example, and I love the story of the Ford Ranger, because the Ford Ranger's engine is made in England, and it's imported into the Ngqura port at Gqeberha in an unfinished state. It's put onto trains, it's railed all the way up to the Ford plant in Pretoria, where it's then filed down and made pretty and assembled, and then all of those vehicles are railed all the way back down to the Ngqura port, from which they're exported. And Ford Rangers remain a massive export revenue generator for Ford South Africa. It does work. It just could be so much better.
Yeah, but Bruce, just be honest about this, you know. If we you just explained how the whole thing is manufactured. We import a lot of stuff and we make it pretty in South Africa and assemble the whole thing and export it again. That doesn't sound very cost-effective to me. I mean, if you subsidize an industry to the extent that we are doing in South Africa, by now there should not be any subsidies anymore. They should have been able to establish themselves properly and be able to compete internationally. They can't. They can't do it without the subsidy. So I'm not so sure it's such a huge success in the country.
It creates jobs. It creates downstream industries. Look, you'd be better at the calculations than I would on this one, Davi, in terms of looking at the extent of the subsidies and the economic impact of all of these incentives and what it really costs versus what is generated. And it does feel artificial. But at the same time, if we remove the subsidies, the players would go to Malaysia. They'd go to other parts of the world where incentives do exist. Can we afford to have that happen?
Well, perhaps South Africa should try to other industries where we can use all these masses of unemployed people in the country. Do we really need a motor industry? Maybe we can add value to agriculture as an example. I think agriculture has got huge potential in South Africa. Maybe some other stuff. What about the mining industry? Can we add some value there? But we know we've got minimum wages in South Africa. We've got a problem with education in the country. We've got all sorts of other issues. So maybe the answer to all of this is that we need to fix the things that we have to have control over. That means Eskom and the railroads and things like that, and just wait, and I'm sure the investors will come in whatever industry where they find where they think they will be making a success. The motor industry, although we are very, it seems to be working very well, we are creating in inverted commas a lot of jobs, and we are exporting a lot of stuff out of the country, and it is a foreign exchange earner, but I'm not so sure it's that successful, because me and you, the average consumer in South Africa, is paying through our noses for cars. Because we want to establish a very high-tech industry like the motor industry. It doesn't sound right to me.
Davi, thank you for your input this evening. Economist at the Efficient Group. And when Davi mentioned mining, I started giggling because every single minerals, and we've had lots of them, they kept chopping and changing more often than I changed my socks during the Zuma era. But everyone, we must beneficiate mining minerals. We must beneficiate minerals. But you don't create the structures, you don't create the industry, you don't create the environment. And if you don't create the environment, you cannot thrive. Certainly created that environment for the motor industry. Is the motor industry incentive plan truly in the best interests of South Africa? That's a question being raised by Davi Ruit this evening, economist at the Efficient Group.
The Money Show with Bruce Whitfield was brought to you by APSA Corporate and Investment Banking, bringing you award-winning trade and working capital funding solutions to unlock the full potential of your business story. APSA is a registered FSP.